Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We are now in lesson 418, and we're going to continue this time with a section of the curses that come upon the people of Israel and upon all mankind, whether they know it or not. As the Apostle Paul said, that the people who know the law, and they're going to be punished based on the knowledge of the law, that is, the transgression that they committed against it. And for others, speaking by the nations, who do not know the law, the things that they do know, they become a law unto themselves. And based on that, God is going to judge them. So one way or the other, all of us are going to be judged based on how we performed in relationship to the law of Moses. You see, that's what Moses is saying here. But all that is going to come upon us, as we read again in verse 20 here. The Lord will send upon you cursing, discomfiture, and rebuke, and all that you put your hand to do, until you be destroyed. A lot of societies in the old days totally perished, disappeared. Nobody knows what happened to them. You see, sometimes disease, war, bloodshed, whatever it may be. And all that, when people investigate what really happened in those nations, like in Sodom and Gomorrah, you'll find out. They've all rejected the law of Moses, so sooner or later, God wiped them out from under heaven and used different methods to do it. And that's what he says to his own people. You're going to follow in the same footsteps, you know, of all those nations that perished if you're going to continue to walk that way. And that's what it says to every single one of us on a personal basis, and people perish every single day, needlessly. Men, women, and children. Oftentimes, you know, some people that you may think are innocent, and we're all paying the penalty, you know, either by losing our own, you know, whatever, or losing our own children that may be innocent because of our own iniquity. You see? And so all of us, one way or the other, are paying the penalty. And so that's what he's saying here. If that's what you do, God is going to bring all this destruction on you until you be destroyed and until you perish quickly. Why? Because of the evil of your doings, whereby you have forsaken me. And when humanity forsakes God and believe in false gods, whether it be literally idol worship or just whatever they believe in, you see, they're going to pay the penalty. And you don't find any given nation on the face of the earth that does not suffer, you see, from all these consequences, because all of them are disobedient to the same law, regardless of what religion they have, and regardless of how much they think that that's the only true religion. You see? Evil is everywhere. Corruption everywhere. Madness, insanity everywhere. Crime and war and bloodshed, terror, poverty, illiteracy, sickness, disease, death, needless death, everywhere. Because all have disobeyed the same law. You see? And all are paying the penalty. Now that's what God is saying. It's me you have rejected. And since he gave his law to Moses to give to Israel, you see, you can say also, you have rejected Moses, you are paying the consequences. And so this is what the lawgiver is trying to warn all mankind, not only Israel. And that's why God is going to bring, you know, destruction on this earth. Because all are guilty for doing that. And so it's not, you know, only somebody that had done it, you know, the devil made me do it, or things like that. We're all guilty. You see, we all should remember that. And so people, you know, they've got problems everywhere. There's corruption in government everywhere. And you've got all forms of government and all kind of evil rulers, and some are worse than others. And then finally, you know, that God gets rid of them too. And people think, well, it was just a revolution and upheaval in the society or politics. Oh, no, God is orchestrating all these things. That's what he told Nebuchadnezzar. That's what you read in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. That God wanted Nebuchadnezzar, that world ruler, you know, that emperor at the time, to realize that God reigns, rules in the kingdom of men, all men. And he gives it to whomsoever he wants. It's not the voters that have done it, or people, or it's not people, you know, that managed to get into power. God is the one orchestrating it. And he says, oftentimes he says, the basis of men. That's what God thinks about most politicians. Very base people. You see? All over the world. And then he comes after them when they serve their purpose. You see? And that's the way it happens. That's what he's saying here. So if people think they're going to exchange one government for another and things are going to get better, they're kidding themselves. They may be a little bit good there, but oftentimes they find out the other government is far worse than the one they had before that. And so it goes on, generation after generation, all around the earth, all because they have rejected the law of Moses. So nothing man is going to come up with is going to solve the problems. Nothing. Period. And one of these days we're going to learn that the hard way, all mankind, all put together, all one time. And so we read here in verse 21, the Lord will make you, think about it, because we're experiencing it, the Lord will make the pestilence and all kind of diseases, contagious diseases and all kind of things like that, and they came upon humanity many times. He's going to make the pestilence cleave unto you until he have consumed you from off the land, whether you go to possess it. So I'm speaking specific about Israel, and they had a lot of sickness and disease, just like they had in Egypt. Because again, God warned them, you obey my voice, I'm going to remove all those sicknesses and diseases you had in Egypt, and I'm going to put them on your enemies. But if you disobey my voice, I'm going to bring all those, you know, sicknesses and diseases upon you. After all, he's the creator of the germs and the viruses. You see? And that's how he teaches his children lessons. And people don't know that. They think, well, it's just nature. That's the way it happens. And so we're going to come up with a vaccine. We're going to come up with antibiotics. We're going to come up with more research and find out cures. And we're going to, you know, go into cloning and stem cell and all that. Nothing is going to work. That's what God is telling us. Nothing is going to work. Whatever we come up with on a temporary basis, God is still in charge. He's going to get us one way or the other. As soon as we continue, that is, as long as we continue to reject the law of Moses, his law. And we're seeing it all over the place. You know, antibiotics are not working as they used to. And so is everything else that we're going to come up with. Nothing is going to work. You see? Isaiah 59 talks about the same thing too, reminding his people Israel that if everything goes wrong in society, and no matter what they try to come up with, nothing works, that's because we have rejected the law of Moses. That was a commission of all the prophets to bring back people to the law of Moses. That was the teachings of all the apostles, to bring humanity back to the law of Moses. Not tell them it's gone away with, as a false religion had done, false prophets. And unfortunately, to this very day, people would rather follow lies than truth. And that's the reason why so many people have contempt for the law. They don't want to hear about it. They have contempt for the law of Moses. They say, oh, it's old stuff, not for us. And even in the Jewish community, there's an awful lot of lip service there, even among the religious people. And yet many things that they do, they are their own thing. They've departed from the law of Moses. That's why to them God says, in vain do you worship me. You read in Isaiah 29. The fear of me, says, is taught by the commandments of men, you know, by their own halacha, their own teachings. And they're kidding themselves that they're obeying the law of Moses. Oh, they do a part of it, yes, much more than others, true. But they've departed also from the way, from the law of Moses, and so they too are paying the penalty in many ways. And to the degree they are obedient to the law of Moses in its purity, not the inventions that they have invented, to that degree there is a lot of blessing there. But you see a lot of very religious people up in the settlements there, you know, in Israel, and many of them get killed all the time. God doesn't protect them, you see, and many other places, in Jerusalem, you see. And so there is sickness everywhere, and disease, and calamity, and problems, and all kind of things that happen to everybody. Because we have all, collectively and individually, to one degree or the other, have forsaken the law of Moses. You see, we must acknowledge that and return to it wholeheartedly. And that's what Moses says, only when you do it, and unfortunately he tells them, the only place you're going to do it is when you are deep in the mud, in the tribulation, in the distress to come. And so when God brings punishment, out of destruction, as he said he would, the trouble that is going to come upon Israel that has never been, never will be, all the nations of Israel, you see, and when they find themselves rock bottom, all the way to the bottom, having no other place to go but to God, that's the only time, you said, you're going to make a full circle and come back around to this very law that I give you today. And then you're going to obey all of it. So what did we gain in between? with all the deceptions and lies and the false religions that we have invented and concocted in our own brain, you know, mixture with some truth, and fed people with it and deceived them and brought all these evils upon them all this time. Now that's why God is going to, you know, to personally take care of all the shepherds, all the spiritual leaders of Israel, be it in Judaism or, you know, so-called Christianity, among the nations of Israel, and they're going to have a special fate because of all that they've done to his people. He said so in many places. You see, we read that earlier, and so that's what Moses has told them here. God is going to bring utter destruction on you because of all that wickedness and all these diseases that he's going to bring upon you. So again, verse 21, the Lord will make pestilence cleave unto you. No matter what you try, no matter what antibiotics, research, whatever, nothing's going to work. You're going to come up with one solution, God is going to come up with the other, you know, from the other side. That's why they find a lot of germs mutate and change. By the time you come up with a vaccine, it's altogether something else. God is in it. That doesn't happen by itself. And he uses those laws that he put in motion to bring it about, and so people think, well, that's just nature, that's the way it happens. And they're, you know, in ignorance and blindness, they can't see who is behind it. Nothing on earth can happen without a force behind it, making it happen one way or the other. And that's the way it works. And so, this is what we see here. He says, you're going to be destroyed from the land that God gave you to begin with. Verse 22, the Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat, you know, high fever, and with drought and with blasting and with mildew, you know, the fungicides, you know, all kind of, you know, those things that, you know, they call it the flesh eaters. And they shall pursue you until you perish. God is going to be behind it. He's the creator of all those things. That's why he said also, I create good and I create evil. This is evil. He created that. Why? Because he enjoys tormenting his children? No. Because that's the only way he can get our attention. And since he's the life giver, even if we die, he can bring us back to life. He can do it. You see? Now, when man kills someone else, he cannot bring him back to life. So the penalty is death penalty. You see, that's not right. But God can bring you back to life. So he can do whatever he wants with his creation. And who are we to tell him yes or no? There's nothing we can say about it or do about it. Our only option is turn away from our evil deeds, come back to him and obey him. Or else, that's it. That's the end of life for us. There's no other option. And so he says he's going to do all those things until you perish. And your heaven that is over your head shall be brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron. In other words, it's going to bring droughts on you. And then the ground is going to be, you know, just like it was in the dust bowl, from soil to dirt to dust. You can't grow anything there. And then you perish. You're hungry. Got nothing to eat. And the Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. That's what the dust bowl is all about. God was behind it. It's not a matter of nature, Mother Nature. There's no such a thing. Man invented that fable, supposedly an intelligent man, showing how insane he is and unintelligent. God said he's going to bring it. Moses told us that 3,500 years ago. Nobody's listening. Nobody believes. You see, we'd rather pay the penalty than, you know, change our path, our way. And so he said he's going to cause it to rain on your land that is powder and dust, not real rain, you know. Well, some people say, well, that's smog. You see? Well, God uses that too. You see? But he also uses, you know, the nature that he created himself. No rain, then you've got dust. You see? That's all you have in the air. And then comes down, and still don't have anything from it. And so he said, this is what he's going to do. And from heaven shall it come down upon you. Because, you see, even when you create the smog problem that's human-made, well, God uses this, you know, the wind currents, which he creates, and he sustains, and he manages, and he determines where it goes, this way or that way. That's where the weatherman is never able, generally speaking, to predict precisely, because God decides those kind of things, not the weatherman, you see, not so-called Mother Nature. And then you can take, you know, your smog from this place and take it somewhere else, and everybody pays the penalty one way or the other all around the earth. So even if you live in a good area, and there are a lot of people that live beautiful areas, there is no industry, there is nothing. And yet they have a lot of smog. Why? Because God blows, you know, He takes, you know, His wind and He blows it in that direction. That's what He's talking about here. It shall come down upon you until you be destroyed. You get all kind of breathing, you know, respiratory diseases and problems and things like that. That's the way God does it. And the Lord will cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You go to war and you lose, like in Vietnam. As powerful as the United States was, they couldn't, you know, they beat those little guys there. You see? Now look what happens in the Middle East. As powerful as the Israeli army is, well, they're losing people every day. And a people that don't even have an army in comparison to the army of Israel, look what they are able to do. Few little people nowadays, terror groups nowadays, can destroy nations. You see, God is behind all that, one way or the other, because of iniquities in the land. And the Lord will cause you to be smitten before your enemies, and you shall go out one way against them, and you shall flee seven ways before them. Just the opposite of what He said before that. If He's going to bring a blessing upon you, that's the way it's going to be for your enemy. But if He brings a curse upon you, you are going to be in that position. You see? And so He says that's what He's going to do to you. And you shall be a horror unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And He brought it upon His people. And verse 26, and your carcasses shall be food unto all the fowls of the air, because nobody's going to bury you. There are going to be so many dead people there, especially when you flee from your enemy. And in the future, we read that very description, Revelation. There are going to be hundreds of millions of people dead. Nobody's going to bury them. The fowls of the air will come and eat them up. Vultures and all kinds of things like that, and, you know, the bacteria and everything else. That's what God is going to do to humanity, because they have chosen to rebel against Him and against the law of Moses, and so they're hurting one another, they're destroying their own lands, you see, and they're making the Creator extremely angry at them, because He didn't create us for that purpose. So you can become, you know, like a bunch of demons, you know, we're doing all those things to each other and to ourselves. And so it says, you know, you're going to be a horror unto all the kingdoms of the earth, and your carcasses shall be food unto all the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and there shall be none to frighten them away. Nobody's going to be around to do it for you. The Lord will smite you with the boil of Egypt and with the emeralds, you know, what people have nowadays, hemorrhoids they call it, and with the scab and with the itch, whereof you cannot be healed, no matter what you do, what you come up with. You know, the time will come when no medicine is going to help you, you see. And you're going to pay and pay and pay through the nose. And for what? You see? Think about it. For what? Because we rebel against the law of Moses, and we're not willing to go back to it. We're not willing to acknowledge it. We make fun of it. We hold it in contempt. We resent it. Okay, God says, that's the way you're going to do it. That's the way I'm going to do it. Verse 28, and the Lord will smite you with madness. You have an awful lot of gnats all around us. You know, people, you know, with all kind of crazy things in their heads. You see? That's why they need Prozac, and they need this, and they need that, and depression, and all kind of, you know, evil things that come upon us. God says, I'm responsible for it because of your own actions, which means that you are really responsible for it, ultimately. And so God, He said He's going to smite you with that. Madness, blindness, a lot of blind people, many babies are born that way. You know, things go wrong. And with astonishment of heart, you know, you don't know what to do with yourself. You're confused. You see it all around you. Verse 29, and you shall grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness. You see? And you shall not make your ways prosperous. No matter what you try, you've got all the societies, all those do-gooders, all those philanthropists, all those organizations contributing to this cause, that cause, and the other cause, and they don't know that they don't have to have all that mess. All you have to do is get down on your knees, acknowledge your wickedness and evil deeds, return to the law of Moses, and all these things disappear. It's as simple as that. Some people think, oh, you know, that sounds like fairy tale. All right. Continue to pay the penalty, and you're going to get to that conclusion anyway. At the end of the road, and you've done all that and suffered all that for nothing. All in vain. Because of our own stupidity. That's why. That's why God, when He's going to bring us around to Himself and opens our eyes, not only His people Israel, but the whole earth, He said He's going to make His people, His children on this earth, love themselves. When their eyes are going to be open and their sanity is going to return to them, and they would realize what they've done to themselves and how they suffered all this time needlessly, they are going to hate themselves, loathe themselves, hold themselves in contempt, not the law of God, not the law of Moses. Not because they're fools and insane, they're doing it. That's why Christ on the cross was saying, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, they're all insane. Insane people do that to their God, to their Creator, to their Maker, to their Savior, to their Redeemer, not understanding anything. Because had they believed Moses, they would have believed him, as he said. They would not have done that. And so that's what Moses is saying he's going to do. He's going to bring all these evil diseases on you, and you cannot be healed from them. He's going to smite you with madness and blindness, with astonishment of heart, and you shall go up at noonday. You know, you would know where you're going, where you're coming. And you shall not make your way prosperous, no matter how much you try. And you shall be only oppressed and robbed always. How many people get robbed so many times in their own home? You know, their own home gets robbed several times. Or they get in the street, in the market, here and there, and they get robbed. And we are going to get robbed, God says, in so many ways, not only of property or money that we have. You can be robbed of truth, of light, of knowledge and understanding, of the wisdom, of knowing what to do. You see? There are many ways to get robbed. You're going to be robbed always, he said, and there shall be none to save you. That's how far down the drain we're going to get. And unfortunately, you know, human nature is such, that's the way it functions. You go all the way to the bottom before we're willing to admit we need help. And that's what's going to happen to us. Verse 30, and you shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. And that's what happens, you know. A lot of people, they get married, and somebody else messes around with your wife. You know, she goes to work in the office, or, you know, she gets raped, and all kind of things like that. A lot of people, you know, they got married, they went to war, they died, somebody else, you know, went to bed with her. That's what God is talking about in so many ways. A lot of people are experiencing that. And look at all the adultery and all the fornication and all the cheating and everything that happens everywhere at all levels of society, be it in government, people do it. You always hear about those scandals all the time, you see. Or be it in religion, a lot of the clergy, a lot of the rabbis, a lot of people are, you know, doing that too. And you find them all the time, now and then. And most of it you don't find out, you see, but it happens. It happens everywhere. You see? Person, you know, is thinking that he's going to work. And his, you know, loving wife is there at home, things like that, and doesn't realize as soon as he leaves, you know, she goes to the next door neighbor and they have an affair. That's what God is talking about. All that because we rejected the law of Moses. And so all this kind of evil, because when we reject the law of Moses, we have no morals, no discipline, no righteousness in us. And all you do is what feels good, you know. If it feels good, do it. That's what people tell you. Oh, we're paying the penalty for it. Just because it feels good doesn't mean you should do it. If it's good and right, that's something else. But they don't tell you that. So God says, well, that's the way you're going to behave. You're going to reject my law. This is what's going to happen to you. That's, you know, this, the consequences of your behavior. And you shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, and you shall not dwell therein. And there are many ways of losing your home again. You can go to war and you lose it. Or you get sick, and you lose it. Somebody else enjoys it. Somebody else moves in, you see. Or, for whatever reason, you can make a payment, you lose your job, somebody else gets it, and so forth. That's what God is talking about. People who reject His law are going to end up with an awful lot of problems everywhere. And maybe not all of them put together, but many of them. Not only once. And if we are honest, we know that we're going through it, and if we don't know why, that's why. because we have rejected the law of Moses. You see? A lot of people wouldn't tell you that. They'd rather just tell you, sweet, nicey, nice things. And that's what he's saying here. You build a house, and you shall not dwell therein. You shall plant a vineyard, and you shall not use the fruit thereof, because somebody else is going to get it, either by war or any other thing. Your ox shall be slain before your eyes, and you shall not eat thereof. And you can apply it in modern life in terms, you work hard, you produce things, and somebody else, grabs it from you. That could be government, that could be IRS, that could be taxes, that could be, whatever. Or it could be robbery. Robbers come in many ways, many forms. That's what he's talking about here. You have an ox, you have your property, somebody else ends up with it before your eyes. And you shall not eat thereof. Your ass shall be violently taken away from you. In old days, that was your transportation. Today, it's a car. Again, couldn't pay. Or hijacking, carjacking, all kind of things like that happen. Not many ways. You see, for God to punish us. And the consequences of our actions produce all these evils to begin with, even if God himself is not directly involved in it. You see? But he's warning us about all these things that will happen if we reject his law. And so he said, you got an ass, somebody's going to rob it by violence, take it away from you before your face, and shall not be restored to you. Never get it back. Your sheep shall be given unto your enemies, and you shall have none to save you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given unto another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day, and there shall be nothing in your power, in the power of your hand. You see, you can never deliver them back. And again, they can be kidnapped, or they go to war. How many young people worked very hard, raised children, raised family, to see them end up in a war, in Vietnam, for example, or Korea, or this and there, or along the borders, or whatever it may be, gone. And there's nothing they can do about it. Absolutely nothing. That's what God is talking about, plus many other things. Your kids go to work or go to school, whatever it may be, they never come back. You don't know what happened. Nobody knows what happened. And then sometimes, you're lucky, quote-unquote lucky, you find the dead body. That's what he's talking about. If we reject the law of Moses, we're going to experience that. And so he says, there will be nothing that you can do about it. The fruit of your land and all your labors shall a nation which you know not eat up. You see? And you shall be only oppressed and crushed away. And that happens again in so many ways. Oftentimes, people go to the field and they work very hard and they sell what they have, and they get pennies for it. Somebody else comes and enjoys it. You see? It happens all the time. There are many nations who are in that state of affairs. Cheap labor, so to speak. They work so hard and they get very few pennies for it, and somebody else comes and enjoys it. That's what America is all about. We've got all this global economy. We've got corporations. We've got companies. They go all to other nations. And a lot of people there, live in slavery conditions to produce all those good things, and they're taken away from there. They don't enjoy them. They end up here in this country or in Europe, in the well-to-do nations. And what do those poor people that produce them do? What do they have? What do they have to show for it? Very little. And God says this is exactly what's going to happen to us too. You see? Verse 34, so shall you be mad for the sight of your eyes. You see, for all what you see, all those evil things that happen to you, you're going to be mad. You're going to go crazy. And people do. What you shall see, and there is nothing you can do about it. Verse 35, the Lord will smite you in the knees. So it's not over. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And we see all that happening one way or the other all around us, worldwide, and among the nations of Israel. God is going to smite you in the knees. People have knee problems, joint problems. Why? And in the legs, with sore boil, where all of you, you cannot be healed. You see, all kinds of things that come. You don't know what to do about it. Nobody can help you. From the soil of your foot unto the crown of your head. You see, and ultimately, God is going to pour that on humanity, on his people. And it's going to be far beyond than just, one ailment here, one ailment there. Your whole body is going to be afflicted by it. And the Lord will bring you and your king whom you shall set over you unto a nation that you have not known, you nor your fathers, and there shall you serve other gods, wood and stone. So ultimately, after all this punishment is going to bring on his people, captivity is the end result of it. By now you are weakened, your defense forces are not strong, your soldiers are sick, you see? You can't do much about it, the enemy comes in, takes over, and you're gone. And that happened to Israel many times. And it's going to come in the future in a far much greater way, because now there are many more of us than used to be in the past. And the nations of Israel, their ignorance, who do not know even who they are and what the law of Moses is all about, they're going to find themselves in that predicament after all the evils that have come before that, and many died anyway to begin with. And that's going to be the ultimate. And all the nations of Israel are going to end up in captivity, either in their own land or somewhere else, as God did before that. Many times they were captives in their own land. You know, they were taken over by others. You read the book of Judges, that's the whole story there. You see, they were constantly in that condition because they were in constantly chronic state of rebellion against the law of Moses, and so they constantly paid the penalty for it. All those things are coming upon us, and when they come, as Christ said many times, as the God of Israel said many times, when all those things shall come to pass, then you will know that I am the Eternal. Now you don't. I don't believe it. Now you got all kind of excuses what it could be, and all kind of reasons and solutions, supposed solutions. But when all those things come to pass, he said, you will know that I am the one who said it. You see, it's not a man. It's not me. It's not any man. It's not Moses. It's not any prophet, it's not any preacher, you know, that opens the Bible and reads these things and believes in it and preaches it. It's not man. God said it. He's going to bring it to pass. And you're going to see it, and you're going to make a full circle at that time, and you're going to admit, amen. That's true. I'm responsible for it, I'm the enemy. And you're going to loathe yourself at that point. Now, this is the way, the road that you want to travel. That's your choice. God is not going to prevent you from it. That's why he said, choose. You're a free moral agent. He gives you the choice to do. Make up your own mind what you want to do. And blame yourself and not God. And so this is what he's saying here. That's the way you're going to end up. Captivity. No more land. No more country. No more king. No more your own government. That's why the Jews are worldwide. And for 2,000 years did not have their own country, their own land. And most of them did not recognize why. Because their own rabbis told them lies. Instead of abiding only by the law of Moses, they gave them a mixture of their own teachings. Rejecting their own Savior, their own Christ, their own Messiah, their own God, the God of Israel. Rejecting Moses, mixing their religion with truth and error. And to the degree they were obedient to the law of Moses, to that degree, God bless them even throughout this entirety of 2,000 years of exile. You see, and to the degree they were not, they were being punished. And so that's the story of Israel, the story of Judah. You see, and when you study the ancient history of Israel, a lot of people don't know that. They don't know who they are, where they came from, and what their forefathers went through for the past, since they've been thrown out of the land 2,700 years ago. They went through hell on earth too. You see, life has not always been good to them. And as it is, to this very day, they're paying the penalty in so many ways. And all the things that were mentioned before that, sickness and crime and disease and fear and all kind of things like that, we're all paying the penalty one way or the other. Until we're willing to return, come back to our God. This is going to be the story of men. There aren't going to be any beautiful days ahead, but worse and worse and worse, until we hit the bottom, rock bottom. And from there, some are going to bounce back, and the majority, unfortunately, are going to be under the ground, awaiting the resurrection 1,000 years later. So, God gives us a choice. Verse 37, and you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples, whether the Lord shall lead you away. And so it became with the children of Israel, especially with the children of Judah, since the world knows who they are, at least many of them that are known, you see, and others are going through it, and the world doesn't know who they are, so nobody even thinks about this in the same way. And that's what God says He's going to manage to do with His own people. Verse 38, and you shall carry much seed out of your field, so He continues with all the curses, and you shall gather little in it, for the locust shall consume it, you know, or the pests. That's why we have pesticides and herbicides. It's not for those artificial things that poison us one way or the other. We would not even have some food to eat. You see, so people think that they're going to fight those kind of things with man-made things, and they don't realize that God has many other ways of destroying crops. You see? And so it continues that. The locusts will come and consume it, and for that matter, other things. And you shall plant vineyards and dress them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes. That's ultimately speaking. For the worm shall eat them. Where did the worm come from? God put it there. For what purpose? What we read here. And other things likewise. Who created the pests? You know? Who created all those things that destroy our crops? God did. Because of that reason. Verse 40, and you shall have olive trees throughout all of your borders, but you shall not anoint yourself with oil, for your olives shall drop off. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. They go into war, they go into captivity, and if they go into the society and they get corrupted there, and they end up as drug addicts and, you know, and dropouts from society and all that, that's another way for them to go into captivity. Or if they go into insanity and madness and they go crazy and things like that, you see, or they join, you know, the scene, you know, that is a criminal scene all around them, you see, they go into captivity one way or the other. That's what he's talking about, because of the breakdown in the society. You see, what's the breakdown in the society? Rejecting of the law of Moses. That's all it means. People can give it all kind of names that they want. And all your trees of the fruit of your land shall the locust possess, and then God makes that happen. The stranger that is in the midst of you shall mount up above you higher and higher, and you shall come down lower and lower. And many nations of Israel, you see that happen. The foreigners, people that came from afar, from other nations, they come and they seem to be doing well, while the natives are going down and down and down. And God says ultimately He's going to really make it a reality for the entirety of the nation, not just, you know, on an individual basis here and there, or community basis. And He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to Him. And that's where we are, you know, in every nation. We owe so much to other nations. People that come from other nations, you see, and first, you know, they use the same system that we have, you know, they lend us some money, just like the banks do, and then they end up with everything in their hands, because you cannot pay. You see? And that's what they do. And that's what God says. He's going to create a situation like that, where this happens. These are consequences that God is in charge of, because we have rebelled against Him and His law. Verse 44, and He shall lend to you, and He shall not lend to him, and He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. In contrast to what He said, that He's going to bring a blessing on you if you obey Him. You shall be the head, and the enemy will be the tail. Now it's the other way around. You see? The circle of the world turns around. People think, well, just that's the way life is. No, no, that's not the way life is. That's the way life becomes when we disobey the law of God, and then He makes sure that this is what happens. And all these curses, verse 45, shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed, because you did not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. That's why all those things happen, to keep His commandments and His statutes, which He commanded you. He's the one that did it. I'm just His servant. That's what He's saying. And there shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and upon your seed forever. You're going to continue to have this kind of problems until the end comes. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, by reason of the abundance of all things. When you had plenty, you were not willing to be grateful to God, thankful to God. They have a holiday they call Thanksgiving. Some people with good intentions came up with it, but most people couldn't care less about what it means. They just want to have a party, big turkey. They couldn't care less about God. A lot of them don't even believe in God. You see? God says, okay, that's the way you're going to behave. When things were good, when I gave it to you, you had no gratitude, no thanks, no obedience. Therefore, verse 48, you shall serve your enemy, whom the Lord shall send against you, in hunger. God is the one in charge of that. People, you know, accuse other tyrants in the world, or enemies, or whatever it may be, like, you know, in the Second World War, and they don't realize, as much as they hate to admit it, or like to believe it, or whatever it may be, it's neither here nor there, God raises evildoers. God raises tyrants. God raises dictators to punish His people. In any given nation on the face of the earth, we are all His children. You see? When we begin to understand it, then we realize why all those things happen. And then we know what to do about it. That's what we read here. You see? God is the one who's going to send the enemy against you. And you're going to end up in hunger, because the enemy is going to grab from you what he can, and thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he have destroyed you. You know what happened to many in the Second World War? Do people know why? Do they point the finger at themselves, or do they point the finger at God and claim it does not even exist? If there is a God in the world, they always say, well, how come? That's hypocrisy. That's a height of arrogance and hypocrisy on the part of any man who makes a statement like that. Those are people who never look in the mirror and see the enemy. And even if you say, what did little children do? They didn't do anything. Their parents did. And then when those children grow up, because their parents are what they are, they're going to make them just like them. See what I mean? Everybody ends up being guilty one way or the other. You see? That's why those things happen to even to the innocent. And we are the guilty ones, not God. And not the instruments, ultimately speaking, we brought it on ourselves. That was the paddle that God used to spank us with. You see? And that's what happens. That's what Moses is explaining to people who have an ear to hear. So, all those things are going to happen until you be destroyed. And sometimes, you know, the iron is much more heavy than other times. Sometimes it is Holocaust, sometimes it is pogroms, sometimes it is, you know, a concentration camp, sometimes it is this or that or the other thing. You see, it all depends on the gravity of the iniquity in the land, or among the people, or in the individual. Now, that's what Moses warned a long time ago, and nobody pays attention to him, or very few do. Verse 49, and the Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the vulture swoops down, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand. And that's speaking not only about the past, what happened in Nebuchadnezzar and Assyria before that. You see, or later on, as it happened many times, and if you know the history of Israel, the people that are not known as Israel today, but God preserved their identity and history did too, for those who have eyes to see and a heart to understand and to believe and to know that, all those things, they went through that many times in the past 2,800 years. You see? And they are still going to go through it, and they will yet go through the ultimate one, which is coming upon all Israel, all the nations of Israel, who are in the land of Judah and the land of Israel there, who are in the United States, who are in North America and Canada, who are in Northwestern Europe, or in Australia, New Zealand, all those places where the children of Israel are, the lands that God gave them, whether they know Him or not. And He kept His promise as He spoke to Moses, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, He brought it to pass. They don't believe it. He's going to bring them down into captivity, into destruction, and the remnant of them will be brought back to the land of Israel to begin the story all over again, and now they'll do it right. Come in full circle. That's what He's talking about here. This one is the ultimate. And so that's what He's saying here. That nation will come this way, like a vulture swooping down, a nation of fierce countenance, that shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And certainly many of them have experienced it in Second World War. They've experienced it in Korea. They've experienced it, you know, and will yet experience it in the future. And he shall eat the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your ground until you be destroyed, that also shall not leave you corn, wine, or oil, the increase of your kind, or the young of your flock, until he have caused you to perish. You see? And God did not allow that to come in its totality, but in good measure, to one degree or the other, in the past, and it will be in the future. Verse 52, and he shall besiege you in all of your gates until your high and fortified walls come down, wherein you did trust. You put your trust in your armaments, in your smart weapons, in your technology. Nothing is going to work, God says. Nothing. When he rises up to bring the end and calamity on his people. And so, you're going to come down, he said. Things that you trusted in. Throughout all of your land, and he shall besiege you in all of your gates throughout all your land which the Lord your God has given you, and shall eat. You're going to end up that way, and that happened in the past. It happened in the Nazi Germany. You shall eat the fruit of your own body. People did it. Mothers ate their children. And oftentimes, obviously after they died, but sometimes they kill them before they die. It happens many times. You read Lamentation. You know, Jeremiah describes what happened there. You read in Josephus, Wars of the Jews, what happened at that time. Cannibalism. You see? And that's been happening. And that's going to happen again. People forget about all that. Those who do not listen, as some say, from the learnings of history, are doomed to repeat it. And this time the biggest one is coming. You see? The ultimate mother of all calamities is coming. Well, again, we're going to stop here. This is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until the next time, we will continue from verse 53.